morning, I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City, celebrating local chefs and the innovative cuisine of Central Ohio. Diane Warren has owned and operated Katzinger's Deli in German Village for the past 30 years, not to date anyone here. And Katzinger's is probably the city's premier Jewish deli, I would say. Recently, Diane Warren opened a little deli in the North Market along with partners Eric Dennison and Michelle Johnson. Diane Warren and Eric Dennison, along with WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak, join us this morning on All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. Diane, you had have a very successful operation going there in German Village. What was the impetus to open another place in the North Market?
Not an easy question to answer. Part of it is I've got this fabulous staff, and I wanted to give these guys the opportunity to grow with Katzinger's. I want to keep them, give them opportunities to do new things and expand their own horizons. Part of it is that we got an offer from the North Market. Like, how can you say no to the North Market? If you know, I've loved the North Market forever.
Un-American.
And it would be un-American. You're absolutely right, Rich. And it was such a fabulous concept and such a fabulous idea for us to take what people enjoy the most about Katzinger's, which is our 10 most famous sandwiches, and transfer that to this little space where we can be part of this North Market community, take Katzinger's to another area of town, the north part of downtown, because here we are in the south part of downtown, and it just thought, how could I say no to this? It just seemed perfect. And then I had Eric Dennison, who was my general manager at Katzinger's, all ready to go, and like, hey, yes, let's do this, and we put together a staff and put it together.
And you have a third partner as well, Michelle.
Michelle Johnson's been with Katzinger's for 14 years. She is our catering director, our office manager, our technician, and the person who keeps me relatively sane. Relatively is the operative word here. And between Eric and Michelle and myself, all of us have been working together for a long time and work together really, really well and have the same vision of what Katzinger's should be over the next several years. And it's been a joy to do this.
How about you, Eric? Has it been a joy for you as well?
it's been fantastic. You know, to have the opportunity to do the new project at the North Market and bookend, you know, as Diane was saying, to bookend the downtown area, it's a unique opportunity for us to expose what we do as a true delicatessen to those that, you know, come and visit the convention center and the North Market, and it's really a neat opportunity. And so we're having a great time.
It could also drive some business back down on South Third. I think it's done that for Pistachio Vera, another one of your neighbors that moved up to North Market,
right.
Bookending, and it may generate some additional. The experience of the restaurant would be fun.
Well, that is another opportunity for us to market both ends of this, market the Little Deli from the German Village Deli and market the German Village Deli from the Little Deli, because there are people who have not been to Katzinger's even though 30 years, but they don't even know about it. So here to go in Katzinger's, the Little Deli, have this fabulous Reuben and go, oh, wow, there's more at the deli downtown. We can
so it's going to be known now as the Big Deli.
Exactly. Right. Well, yeah, exactly. We were like struggling with that. Would have had the nomenclature for it. But in both the delis, you can call in, you can have your orders picked up, or from the Big Deli, you can have them delivered. And so that's an important part of our sort of model as well. So you can come in, you can order on site, you can call in, have the food delivered, pick it up, take it with you, enjoy it at home, enjoy it at work, enjoy it where you are. And it's a great opportunity for us to offer our food to more people, to more Columbus people.
And the pickles are at North Market as well.
Thank you for reminding me that. At the German Village Deli, as many of you know, we have our big pickle barrels from which you serve yourself. And we also have big pickle barrels at the Little Deli. And the pickle barrels seem to be a very favorite thing of our guests.
Integral part of it.
Love that. Right.
Do you anticipate or have you already experienced more street traffic at the North Market than the 3rd Street location?
I think, generally speaking, the German Village location is more of a destination.
Yeah.
And fortunately, we've, you know, thanks to Diane, it's it's been 30 years in the making, and so we have this reputation, a national reputation, as well as a Columbus business, as a reputation as a Columbus institution. What we've noticed at the North Market location is that people aren't necessarily seeking us out; they're kind of stumbling upon us, which is something new for us, and it's an opportunity for us, though, to gain big fans and to create what and enhance what the North Market does in general as well.
So people who are just going to the market to shop for produce or something else come upon you, and I'm sure you are delighted.
Yeah.
Well, there are people who live in that short north area and all those condos and apartments and things who are probably less than 30 years old, and but nonetheless have never been probably south of the freeway. So I think it does give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to a new market.
Right.
You mentioned that the menu is smaller. It's pared down. What's in, what's out?
Well, we couldn't be Katzinger's without our Katzinger's Reuben, of which we have sold more of consistently every day, every week, and every month, and every year for 30 years.
Wow.
It has been our biggest seller. So the same Reuben is available at the Little Deli.
Well, it wouldn't be Katzinger's without the Reuben.
And it wouldn't, right. And the homemade Russian dressing and the fabulous corned beef. Great bread, all of that. The number 11, which is the Janice's special can-do, which is smoked turkey, Munster cheese, honey mustard grilled on challah. The number 16, which is the turkey Reuben. Oh, Eric, help me with this.
And, well, the number 39, which is our right. pastrami Reuben, which is featured on the Food Network as Ted Allen's favorite sandwich and soup combination. That's obviously featured there. And so those are the kinds of things that when the guests come in and they see that and it's an opportunity to, again, show off. It, as part of the North Market, one of the draws for us was that we could be part of this great group of merchants and enhance what they do at the North Market, because we believe in the North Market as a great Columbus institution and want to better it and be a bigger part of it.
So can you use the menu, the items on the menu, in various combinations? Does it give you some flexibility, or do you simply order whatever it is the 39 is, for example?
Great question. There are 10 sandwiches listed on the menu. One of them is exclusive to the market. It's my daughter Rachel's spicy pimento cheese spread and turkey and bacon, and it's so amazing. That one you can only get at the Little Deli. So there are 10 sandwiches, but from those 10 sandwiches, from the meats and the items that are on those 10 sandwiches, you can make at least 26 other sandwiches. So mm-hmm. we're trying to calculate that out. But in fact, it's the same way it is at the Big Deli. I mean, it's all variations on the theme anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sure, you can do that. And people do.
And
so
what
if
about
somebody just wanted a pimento cheese sandwich?
No problem. No problem.
So what about sides?
We have our five most favorite sides, fruit salad, fresh fruit salad, Katzinger's potato salad, Katzinger's red skin potato salad, coleslaw, and macaroni salad, which some people have said is, what is it?
Oh, crackaroni.
Crackaroni, that's right, because it's really right. addictive. We have our four brownies, fudgies, Steelers, turtles, and blondies. And that's it. And the one thing that we're getting from our customers at the market, which I think is great, is they go, oh, this is so much easier. I don't have to look at all those sandwiches and try to figure out what. It's only 10 things to choose from. This is so great. So that's turned out to be an advantage for us,
them. Over the years, it seems to me, you actually have pared down the Katzinger's menu as well.
We have. Actually, it's deceiving. We do have slightly less sandwiches that we had at our peak. At one point, I think we had like 54, and now I think we have like 46. We sort of dropped the ones that have gone out of fashion, had never sold. Some had product in them that we no longer carry. You know, so for a variety of reasons, we've like taken that down. But it's that great thing about delis is that you want all the excitement, but in this massive things to choose from, and oh, this is so fabulous. But boy, I got to tell you, in this day and age, and I'm no young chicken anymore anyway, it just gets tiring, you know? To like, oh, God, I have to choose from 47 sandwiches. Can't there just be less than that? So, yeah, we have pared down. That was very astute of you. Very few people have noticed.
Really?
That. Yeah, really.
Where do the names come from?
I'm going to take this. Okay. When we first opened the deli in 1984, we decided what sandwiches we want, and we kind of like named them for people that had helped us get open, including parents and friends and that kind of thing. Then we started having sandwich contests where people would come in with their ideas and their names and their personal names and how what they wanted to name the sandwich. So like the Becker Beltham, I don't even know who he is. He's a great sandwich and sells great and has for 25 years. So that's kind of where the names come from. We sometimes throw it up into our staff, go, hey, you guys got a great sandwich idea. We'll put it on the menu, that kind of stuff. So that's a variety of places where the names come from. But they all have a personal story behind them.
So the person's forgotten, but the sandwich is memorialized forever.
That, exactly.
What a tribute.
Always be there. And actually,
I'm going to create a sandwich.
Some of those sandwiches are named for people that are no longer with us and passed away. But those sandwiches are up there forever. Yeah. Their legacy. Right?
It's always amazing to me to see the people that come in that claim the sandwich is named after them. When I know that it was your dad or something.
Right.
You know, right. Well, everybody wants special
right.
treatment.
Right.
Now, are you going to create, now that the ex-president has turned into a vegan, are you going to create a vegetarian Bill Clinton?
Only by personal request.
Okay. Right.
So what's the magic of the corned beef? You don't get it here. You import it, as it were.
You want to do this?
Yeah. I think the magic of the corned beef is that it's like any great food establishment. It's all the process. You know, when we get it in, we cook it to our specs. We have to prepare it in a certain way, reheat it in a certain way. We slice it hot, which is, you have to go through a lot to do that and do it right. And so again, I think it's about going the extra mile. And I think just like any other great restaurant in town, it's those extra steps you take. And it is an amazing product. And when it's done right, you know, and I think we do it right most of the time. You know, we're not perfect all the time, obviously, but we do. I think we do a great job. You know, it's fantastic.
And it comes from?
Cy Ginsburg out of Detroit. You know, it's the best corned beef you can find. There's not a better product. But we get it in raw, and you know, we take it from there.
So it's been pickled, but you haven't.
Okay. Right.
Right.
And the bread comes from Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, from Mediterra Bakery in Pittsburgh. We get it fresh daily. In fact, I know years ago, and maybe Diane can speak to this, there was a transitional period where we lost the artisanal bakery that was doing our bread for us.
We started off with a bakery in Detroit when we first opened. And it was funny because when we first started talking with people about opening this delicatessen, people would go, oh, you have to get this bread, you have to get this bread. But we knew what we wanted. We wanted a crusty bread that was dense and flavorful and sort of European, kind of old school kind of bread. And we had to really search for that. We found this bread in Detroit. We would bring it in weekly, freeze it, bake it off. It was this incredible process. The guy went to pick it up in the truck, went off the road, the bread went tumbling. I mean, there's all kinds of stories I could tell you. Anyway, The bread is so important to what we do. And when the Detroit bakery decided to close, it was an older gentleman, when they decided to close, we had to go find bread to replace it. We found a bakery in Cincinnati that had really great bread. We thought we can work with them. We worked with them for a few years. They closed. It was been a real process. Mm-hmm. And every time we lose bread, it was just panic city. It's just crazy. These guys came to us. The guys from Mediterra came to us. This was, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, and said, we can do this bread for you. And they were right. And they said, and we can bring it to you. And we can bring it to you fresh every day. And they were right. And that's why we get our bread from Mediterra Bakery in Pittsburgh.
And they'll probably be staying open a little longer than the others because it's become much more popular to have that kind of bread.
Yeah. That's right. This was back in the days before artisan bread was around, right?
Well, the time has flown by, I'm afraid. Give us the particulars, though. Where in the North Market are you located, and what are your hours?
We are on the, what is it, the
southeast corner. Right?
East, thank you.
Yes.
We're right across from Omega, and if you order from the, if you enter from the front street, we're on this, you take the south door, and we're right there in front of you.
Which is a great location because you get people who want to come in and just get a sandwich and be able to leave. And when are you open?
We are open Tuesday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. On Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sundays from 12 to 5 p.m. and then Mondays from 11 to 3.
It's open every day.
We're open 7 days a week. Wow. If you're in for lunch, we're there.
So even open on Monday for lunch.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And there are a few things open on Monday for lunch, even though the produce and others are closed.
Right.
Yep. So it's basically market hours in addition to Monday.
And you can get there from downtown on the C bus now for free.
Right.
So
that's right.
Hop the C bus on Front, take it up. It turns at Nationwide, goes up North High Street, get off at Vine or Spruce, and walk a block west.
Right. And the C bus is great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all, Diane Warren and Eric Dennison of the Little Deli in the North Market. This is All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. We'll be back with our panel of restaurant reviewers, including Rich Terapak, in just a moment. Welcome back. This is All Sides Chefs in the City. I'm Marilyn Smith, joined this morning by WOSU restaurant reviewer Rich Terapak and Miriam Bowers-Abbott, food critic for Columbus Underground. First of all, Miriam, I'm not sure if you heard our interview with Diane Warren and Eric Dennison. How do you feel about expansions? Is it tricky?
Actually, one of the things that I thought was really interesting about some pre-show conversation that I got to listen to, and I'm not sure if this part made it on air or not, was that they were talking about marketing from the North Market and how that was different from marketing from their original location. And it never even occurred to me.
Yeah, that was news to me as well.
Yeah, that you had to market from the North Market. I was like, oh, don't you just go and people are drawn to wherever you are? But, I think it's a great testimony to why Katzinger's has been around since 84 is because they don't just lay there and let things happen. They're very proactive.
And they're trying, I think, to create more of a feeling, even in that little space, that it's not just fast food.
It's not the littlest space, certainly, in the North Market. It's, it's a fairly good-sized restaurant. Well,
But, the tables are upstairs and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's people getting their sandwiches and going back to Nationwide or whatever. So I said, linger out there with them and offer them a pickle.
What are the pitfalls, though? Can it be overwhelming? Is it twice as much work, or is it somewhat fluid and somewhat seamless that you can just prepare food in one location, in this case, and take it to the other?
I remember, Liz Lessner kind of compulsively opens new restaurants. And I remember, when she got to like number 5 or number 6, I remember saying, what are you doing? That's too many. And she said, well, they're kind of like babies. They're really difficult and awful in the first 3 or 4 months. And then after 3 or 4 months, you get a system set up and things kind of take off.
And then they're not like babies anymore.
Yeah, then they're not. They just grow up like that. But I thought, and surely she knows more than me.
Yeah,
that's right. Maybe you can miss those. But the opening is probably always, there's a very steep learning curve every time you start a new project or do a new addition. But then if you're agile, you figure out how to get across and make it work.
And she's made it work with different menus at each of those locations.
Yeah.
You don't get a spam sandwich at Scully.
That's good, because I don't need a spam sandwich.
and I think in the case of both Pistachio Vera and Delicatessen, they do have a product, and she is, as she said, giving the same product as is Pistachio Vera at the North Market.
So you know the quality and the consistency you're going to get.
And I think it's all the meat's going to be cooked at the main set up and transported. Most of that is done as well, I think, at Pistachio Vera. Most of the product is made in the main store, and it's only 6 blocks away. So.
Speaking of Liz Lessner, she's closing Betty's, which has been, I think,
in the short north
for the 10 years at least. And is that going to reopen somewhere else? Do you have any knowledge of that?
Okay, that was the last I heard, that I think originally it was going to close about 6 months ago, right? But but then it expanded, and now my understanding is it's open through June, and then something right next to Grass Skirt should be the new Betty's. Now, I don't have any... Don't you remember? I feel like that story's been around for a while.
No, the closing, I think. Yeah. I never heard any more about it.
I didn't hear about the next to the grass skirt. That's right. Good. They okay. got a good
you're
population.
You're making news here.
Okay, yay me. Yeah. I have
you're
not
always
heard.
Always on top.
Yes,
of it.
I try. I just make stuff up when I don't. I'm just, that's a joke. Well,
that's and some people jerk. Take it that's and right. run with it.
but
so
I,
believe nothing you
that,
hear.
That's right. That's how I work. I think that was in the plan from the beginning of her announcing that the Short North wasn't going to work anymore as a location. I think I even wrote about that. So I feel like that's pretty safe, legitimate yeah. information. I'm not telling any
well,
secrets.
Well, it is kind of restaurant dense now.
Yeah.
I think it best served those people who were working at other restaurants as waiters and stuff because it would stay open later. So those are the folks who are going to miss it, the wait crowd, but they're at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, temperatures are finally up here in Central Ohio, and hopefully they'll stay up. I was just perusing AccuWeather the other day. And so we're in the Northeast. Temperatures are really on the chilly side in New York and Boston and places like that. They're still in the high 50s, low 60s.
It was like 63 here this morning. We had the air conditioner on. I was so mad. I was like, what are we doing?
Open a window.
But the good news is the patios around town are popping up and cleaning off the outdoor furniture and getting ready for the crowds. And from what I understand, there's a lot of pent-up desire out there to sit outside now and enjoy a drink or enjoy a meal. What are some of the notable patios in the city or anywhere in Central Ohio?
Everybody has to say Barcelona on the list, right?
I mean, I'd agree. It's the best looking. They've done it for years. It's well fenced, so you don't get a lot of street noise and whatever. And they have good product.
And I'm trying to think of others. I know Mozart's, I think, with its new location, just installed a whole bunch of patio seating. So this will be the first year.
And that is where?
That is in Clintonville, just a little bit south of Morse Road.
And downtown for lunch, you can go to Lexi's. They have big space.
Oh, I love Lexi's.
Yeah, it's fun at 100 East Broad.
Do you know what else happens in warm weather at Lexi's? Is they've had this for 2 years anyway, and I live in hope. They have Reuben nachos, which are,
ooh.
Yes. Oh, isn't that good?
Yeah.
Which are potato chips topped with I think they have really good corned beef, topped with corned beef and a whole bunch of goop that you put on Reuben's, only it's on potato chips. and they don't do it in cold weather. They only do it when it's like happy hour.
Seasonal.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
What's the place on 4th next to the Y? Is it K Paul's?
Hey Paul.
Oh, there we go. I was like, Louisiana.
K Paul is Louisiana. Hey Paul. And Paul is the Paul. Last name
Yao.
Yeah, is I can't remember anything this morning. Is the former chef at Barcelona that brought it along, and they've now finally have some seats outside, which I think will get them a little bit more attention. Because
I think he was the first guest that we had when we start doing chef interviews to him.
Yeah, and good product, and they've got some seating outside, which will help them.
292.
There's tons of them. We can go on forever.
Sorry, 292-8513. If you have any questions about restaurants or food here in Central Ohio, we have Rich Terapak and Miriam Bowers Abbott, who's willing to tell you just about anything you want to hear.
That's right. That is my expertise this morning.
Well, of course, when it comes to patios, Bozzi gets
great
thumbs up for their patio.
It almost triples the size of the restaurant.
Absolutely.
And it's a lot of fun, too. Again, that's a great enclosed space. It gives you a good feeling and a good atmosphere. If it's raining and awful, they'll put down the isinglass curtains, and it's fun.
Well, I often wonder if the neighbors an apartment building on the Hubbard Avenue side, and I think an apartment building on the Neal Avenue side, as well as houses. It's right in Victorian Village in a residential area. How they feel about the levity and the noise and the
as long as they get a discount on alcohol, they'll be fine.
And I have to think at this point in time, Bozzi's been there longer than most of the residents. So you find your apartment with your eyes open. I would be surprised if they
didn't
know
because of it.
I was going to say I would like to live close to Bozzi. Mm-hmm.
292-8513. If you have any questions for our food critics this morning. What are the possible downsides, though, of patio dining? From what I understand, usually there are no reservations taken.
I think that can be difficult, although eating on a Monday or a Tuesday is always a good way to avoid worrying about reservations because there's almost always seats places. I can't say I've ever had bug problems, but I always worry. Whenever I'm outside, I always think, oh, bugs. But I can't say I've ever been to a restaurant where the flies wouldn't leave me alone. That never happens.
Yeah, and you wonder if staffing can be an issue for the restaurateur. If it's, you know, if they predicted bad weather and it's good weather, and do they bring enough people in?
Well, sure. Yeah. But I think that's the reason that they don't take reservations, is that if suddenly it rains and you have all these people who've reserved a seat on the patio, mm-hmm. want to get inside the restaurant, there's simply no room, right. because you've got those people who've made their reservations as well. One of the downfalls, though, occurred to me. We were eating out over the Memorial Day holiday in the backyard and had our patio set out. And a bird came by
and joined the party.
Left a little something on the umbrella, which tended to kind of find its way to the table right in the middle of dinner. And it had never happened before, but I thought, gee, if I was in a restaurant and this happened, I don't know how I'd feel about that.
Yeah.
It'd stop the meal for me, I think.
And it's a wonder they don't. I guess we don't have as many pigeons around anymore, but, you know, in European restaurants, they're always pecking around the floor or patio or whatever to get the crumbs. So that could be a problem. But I don't think we have a lot of that going on. Sorry, Marilyn, that somebody interrupted your party.
I think it's good luck, though. Like if a bird does its
rains
thing on
your wedding day, that kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. I think especially if you're a direct hit, that's good luck in China. I'm not making that up.
Well, maybe.
Oh, come on, do we believe?
2928513, and Penny is joining us this morning. Hi, Penny.
Hello. We've always enjoyed Dr. Henderson's restaurant in Marysville, and it's closed. It's been closed now for a couple of years, but I just heard that there's a new proprietor. And do you know anything about that?
I'm sorry, I don't. Do you know anything, Mary?
Yeah, you're breaking the news to me, too.
We'll find out. But
a phone number or some way to contact them. And with the tournament here, you know, the traffic is horrendous, so I can't drive up there. But someone told me this week that they thought this weekend it was opening.
Have you checked on the web?
I have not, no. No, I haven't. But it's a wonderful venue. It has a beautiful porch, and it's that old home. Mm-hmm. It's just fascinating. I love it there. So thank you.
Do you know if they're going to continue to use the same name?
No, it's not going to be called Doc Henderson's. No.
It'd be too easy to find that.
That's right.
Looking it up on the web isn't going to be.
No.
Well, except you could, of course, Google restaurants in Marysville, see if anything turns out.
Called the Marysville Chamber of Commerce.
Right, that's true. Drive up there. Yeah. That's true. All right.
Like you said, it's tournament week.
That's true.
Stay inside.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for your call this morning, Penny. 292-8513, and Morgan is joining us. Good morning, Morgan.
Hi. I was calling. I wanted to recommend my new favorite patio, which is Harvest Kitchen and Bar in Clintonville.
Oh, yeah.
The old Mozart's, and so they have great patio space there, too.
And it's a great restaurant.
I know. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
But I was going to ask for recommendations for Ethiopian food, because I was meaning to take my husband to get something from Blue Nile, but it's not Ethiopian anymore, or it's not exclusively Ethiopian anymore. And I was going to see what you guys had to recommend.
This is like the second stumper in a row this morning. Do you know what?
I thought we heard of one a few months ago, and I can't recall the name, that is kind of in the behind Town and Country Shopping Center. There's a series of stores back there, and I thought we heard that there was not only a Somali restaurant but an Ethiopian restaurant back there. Again, I'm sorry I can't recall the name, but that's the only one that I know of other than the Blue Nile.
Yeah. Okay, well, I will look up Behind Town and Country.
Yeah, see if you can find it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much for your call. 292-8513. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're here with Miriam Bowers Abbott of Columbus Underground and Rich Terapak, who writes food reviews for WOSU and our blog, Chefs in the City. If you have any questions about summer dining or anything else, give us a call, 292-8513. And Jerry is here. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the call. Two patio places. One just opened, the Crafty Pint on the corner of Lenworth and 161.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped in there last night with a friend.
Is that the old Hoggy's space?
Yes, that's the old Hoggy's place. And I've had black salmon there on top of a salad. These fantastic salads they make today. When you get my age, that's all you need is a salmon. And they said, well, it's a Cajun salmon. And I said, hey, that doesn't bother me. Didn't even hit the Scoville scale. The other place is the Pint Room, 161 and just east of Riverside Drive. You know where La Scala is? It's back in there. Mm-hmm. You got to turn left if you're going west on 161 and drive around back in there. But both places have great salads, and they got one called Topless, which is just on top of a salad, a 7-ounce sirloin steak or burger, whatever you want to call it. And the other is an Asian chicken salad with a few strips of hot chicken on top of the salad. And let me tell you, these kids today make great, these craft beers are fantastic. I've never drunk anything like them. I don't know how they do it, but
hops, lots of hops. Yeah, there's a shortage of hops in the state because
Mandy Tribble just did a story recently about the hops shortage.
Well, anyway, I found out last night from this friend of mine that there's 89 small breweries in Ohio. I said, that's one more than the counties they got in Ohio.
You reminded me of another patio that's open, and it has probably more Ohio beers than any place in town, and that's the Crest at Crestview and Indianola.
Oh, my gosh, I remember that Crestview.
Yeah. It's about doubled in space. They took over the barbershop next door and knocked out the walls, and they have just a huge list of Ohio beers, and microbreweries, and some really good food, too.
Well, they're sprouting up all over the place. And
have to check that out. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you very much for your call this morning, Jerry.
You bet.
29285.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you. 292-8513, if you'd like to ask our panel a question this morning or make a comment. We are going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back on All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City. Back with Weekend, All Sides Weekend, and Chefs in the City. I'm Marilyn Smith. We're here with Rich Terapak and Marian Bowers Abbott. We were just talking there about a new event brought to us by our friends at Columbus Dine Originals. Rich?
Apparently, Dine Originals is kind of shaking things up a little bit in regard to their usual twice-a-year restaurant week. They've encouraged their Dine Original members to create Wednesday originals. So at least one Wednesday a month in each of these locations, they'll be offering a different variety of things. And they're all kind of the same concept of price fix. For instance, G. Michael's in German Village will offer 10 wine tastes and 10 appetizers for $19. There's some others here. Mozart's in Clintonville will offer three-course Austrian-themed dinner for $20 with dishes varying from month to month. I think it's a great idea. I think it'll be fun to get to shake up the menu a little bit and force people to go out on Wednesdays, I guess. Some people have already been doing this. We were just at Z Cucina on Wednesday, and they already have a $30 price fix menu with matching wines for another $10. So it's a good thought.
Well, and I think the restaurant week, there was a 614 restaurant week. There was the Dine Originals. Right. I think that everybody kind of got burned out on that. Plus, it was difficult for chefs because they had to plan this quite far in advance to know what was going to be available to them. It just kind of ran its course.
I bet in 10 years it'll be back. Because,
things have shelf lives. Yeah. So.
And that's beginning this week, you said.
Yes.
292-8513, and Sharon has been waiting. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. Just have a quick question for you. We're talking about patio dining, and for lunch and dinner, it's not such a problem, but for breakfast, there's a group of us that likes to go outside, and we're in the Upper Arlington Northwest area, so of course we know about Kettle Inn and that type of thing, but are there any restaurants that we're not aware of? And this is a Friday, not on the weekend, that might have a patio that we could have breakfast at someplace in the area.
Wow.
Yeah.
There
aren't a lot of places that are serving breakfast. That's the problem. There are places with lots of patios, but not a lot of breakfast. Let's see. And you specifically want Arlington because there's a great place down just east of German Village on Whittier called Skillet, and they have a few tables outside, and they do great, very heavy-duty brunch items. So if you want to go to breakfast a little bit late, it's wonderful. Chef Katsky does a great job down there. What's the name of the tea room on 5th?
It's in Marble Cliff.
Marble Cliff. Close. I don't know if they have any patio dining. But
I'll have to check that out because that's definitely an area. I mean, sometimes we go a little further afield too, so we might check out that place down in German Village.
Yeah. There's a place, there are a couple of places in Bexley that are open very early.
Zenshaw, do they have a patio? They have good breakfast, at least on weekends. That would be something you could find out online.
I can check that out for sure.
Yeah, C'est Si Bon is a crêperie right next to the Drexel Theater.
I know that, yeah.
And around the corner is the Cherbourg Bakery. I don't have a lot of bakery items. I don't know if they have any other savories or not. It's about as much as I can come up with.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. I thought you came up with a lot.
Well, I know I do appreciate the suggestions, and maybe we'll at least check out the Skillet.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. It's great. Make sure you order carefully because you can split most items.
That's a good hint, yes. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Sharon. 292-8513 if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, or if you have any breakfast patio suggestions, we'd like to hear from you. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City, and we're talking with Rich Terapak, who writes reviews for our blog, WOSU/Chefs in the City, and Miriam Bowers Abbott of Columbus Underground.
There's a new patio coming in. I don't know if it's done yet. Has Westies opened their new area?
Oh, I don't think they do breakfast.
No, they don't do breakfast, it's going to be a good patio.
I was going to say, when I was there, both areas looked completely inhabitable. It has the same thing going that the Crest does, where the windows you can crank out, and all of a sudden you're in a patio because the windows almost go completely away.
Well, in Marcella's, I'm not sure about the one at Polaris, but the one in the Short North, the windows open completely onto the street.
A la New York. Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
Well, it's fun, except, of course, without any kind of easement, you're right up against High Street, and a bus or two comes by here.
Or a bird.
Changes your ambiance.
Yeah, that changed our ambiance, all right. 292-8513, and Kevin is calling. Good morning, Kevin. You with us? Kevin? And, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
First-time caller, and I was just hired by a gentleman named Jose Becerra, who oversees the Fat Food Company. Has anyone heard of that? There's a Fat Taco downtown.
Yep. Been there. Been to both of them. Yeah.
I think there's a Fat Wraps.
I haven't been to Fat West, but been to Fat Downtown. Great product.
Now, this is PHAT, right?
It's PHATT. It actually stands for Promoting a Healthy Alternative. Trendy, tasty foods.
Well, that's an interesting name for a healthy alternative.
Yeah. But it's Fat Taco and Fat Wraps, and I don't know what the West Side is called.
Yeah, I think they are launching a Fat Fries at the mall, and we're just starting to offer breakfast at the downtown location. Really authentic Mexican breakfasts, eggs poached in like salsa and stuff. Just thought I'd call in.
That's awesome.
Thanks. I'm downtown, so I appreciate the information.
Thanks very much for your call this morning, 292-8513. And Simon is calling. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes?
Yes.
I went and saw the new Chef movie with my roommate, Nick, who's the kitchen manager at the Wine Bistro on Main Avenue. And that whole movie is about Cuban sandwiches, and I wanted to know if I can get a good Cubano here in Columbus.
Well, martinis, not martinis, Marcello's, I think. It's one of Cameron's restaurants downtown has a Cuban.
The Press Grill has a Cuban.
Yeah.
Oh, I like the Press.
Yeah.
I went to the rebranded Barley's Smokehouse, and I had a banh mi, and this is really related. But right below the other choice I could have had was a Cuban, and I will say the banh mi was fantastic in terms of being very lush and excessive.
Ooh,
so if you look for that in a Cuban, I would say that might be a place for you to check out.
Now,
I like really messy sandwiches. I like over-the-top filled things.
Is this the Barley's on Riverside Drive?
It is. Okay, but it doesn't have Barley word in its name since it rebranded, and I'm having a hard time reconditioning myself.
Well,
so it
didn't rebrand very effectively. I can't remember the name.
Smokehouse Brewing Company. I did it. Okay.
You did it.
No, it had the same kind of... Yeah, there we go.
And the Short North Restaurant's the Pearl that has the Cuban. So
excellent.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for your call this morning, 292-8513. And I do have information about Bazzi Italia apparently is opening for lunch beginning Saturday.
Oh, good.
I think this is just a summer thing, and it may only be on Friday and Saturday. I'm not sure, but it's something worth noting. They did try lunch a few years ago, and I'm not sure quite what happened with it, but...
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
You got to prep twice a day.
Yeah.
I would
Makes
get over
a
that
very
fast.
Long day. Yeah.
Well, plus bringing in staff just for lunch. So usually I would think it would call for a split shift for some of the staff. Where have you been lately, Miriam?
Okay, well, I went to Smokehouse Brewing Company. I'll tell you where I was yesterday, though. And this is a tiny little thing, but I'm obsessed with it. I drove to Springfield to a bakery to buy two pies because they sold out of these pies at all of the gourmet groceries in Columbus, and I had to have this pie. And I don't even like pie, which is what is so amazing about this. So I'm dying to talk about this, and I haven't even published on this one yet.
A scoop.
I know. I want to tell you all about it. I should have brought you, if I really loved you, I would have brought you a pie.
I know.
So there's this place called Stephen's.
Skip the Pringles and bring the pie.
I know. It's called Stephen's Bakery, and you know, one of my responsibilities for Columbus Underground is to review local food. So I'm pushing the cart through the grocery store going, I got to get something. I'll buy pie. Because even if I don't like pie, I can competently assess the quality of a pie. I may, you know, there may not be as much love in my voice, but I can do that. I got home and I ate the whole half pie.
No.
I was going to share a piece with Kip, but
what
he didn't eat
it
fast enough, and so I took it back, and I ate the whole half pie. It was Toll House pie, which means, so pie crust, and then there's chocolate chips on the bottom, and then there's pecans on top of the chocolate chips, and then there's this stuff on top is not like a cookie, because that would be lame, and that's what I thought it was going to be, but it's like brown sugar crust. It's like a brown sugar crust on top of all the other stuff. So I ate my half pie, and then I went back to the store to buy more for gifts, and they didn't have any. And so I ended
That's the
up
reason
in,
you didn't bring any
in
today.
Springfield in the wilderness at a farm, because that's where they're made.
Oh, great.
I was very happy. I wanted to buy more.
So where are they marketed up here or over here?
Every gourmet grocery store, because I called every gourmet grocery store to find out why I couldn't buy
Steve's
more pie.
Steve's Pies.
Steven's Pies. So that'd be Lucky's, Both Hills, and Weiland's. I called all of them, and they all told me they'd get more today. So today I'll be buying more pie.
Clintonville Farm Market. Charlie has weighed in.
Oh, wait. How does that happen? Do they talk to your earphones?
Yes, they do.
Yes, okay, that's awesome. Okay. That's good to know. Okay, so there's another outlet. But the only place I could find them on Thursday was in Springfield.
So is this the one and only kind of pie that Stephen makes? Or are
You know, they make... I tried their cherry pie, and that was actually good, too. It wasn't the gloppy, fake, bright red cherries. And it wasn't the... Sometimes people go, here, it's a real cherry pie, and it's really sour. And I get over that fast. Mm-hmm. So it was a nice combination of sweet, and it's a good pie. I don't even want to, I never want to make anything, but I especially don't want to try to make this. I could never impersonate that. Yeah. So that was good.
You get the Pillsbury crust, you roll with that.
No.
I mostly eat the filling, that would work.
We have a call from Sharon, who has some suggestions for one of our other callers. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. I have a suggestion for the lady who called in asking about breakfast places in Upper Arlington.
I was wondering if she had tried South of Lane, which is that's the name of the place,
mm-hmm.
on Guilford Road.
Mm-hmm.
They do have a few seats outside, and they do just breakfast and lunch, have a wonderful array of omelets and waffles and Belgian waffles and applewood smoked bacon and pretty much anything you can imagine.
Now, this is in that little part of Old Arlington, right?
Right.
Yes, it's right across from the old fire station.
They have this crazy waffle there that has, and I bet you'll be able to correct me, like Nutella and peanut butter and a whole bunch of, right? I feel like there's something over the top and fantastic on that menu involving a waffle, yes?
Yes, there is, and I haven't had the courage to try it, but just calorie-wise, but it sounds fantastic.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. A very good suggestion.
All right. Thank you.
And if you listen to Miriam, you think she was as big as a house, but
she weighs 80 pounds.
Tiny
it's a good
thing
that pie is in Springfield. That's all I have to say.
Well, apparently you were able to find
That's
it.
That's right, I did.
2928513. And Rich, you've recently been to La Tavola.
Yeah, we tried La Tavola, and I think Steve may have talked about this before. It's Ricky Lopez's new place. It's the same concept that was on Powell Road and then Riverside Drive. They're in Grandview on First, just a little west of Grandview Avenue. And it's great stuff. We went last night. We had a four-corner pizza that had asparagus and mushrooms and divided into a quarter of the pie. They've got a great garlic cheese bread.
I had that too, and I was struck by how attentive it was. Yeah. It wasn't just like your throwaway.
No,
but
it's a $3 appetizer, their house salad, the Ensalada La Tavola, it's got all kinds of stuff in it. It's terrific, big enough for a meal. So I wish him luck. They had Need downtown, which closed simultaneous with La Tavola opening, and he's had a lot of time in Italy over the last few months and has brought back some really good stuff. So give it a shot.
There have been some other notable changes on the restaurant scene in Columbus, one of which is Black Point Seafood is going to open on the Cap in the Short North. It's part of the Hyde Park restaurant group. And the other restaurants that have been in that space, for whatever reason, just haven't done so well.
You know, it's a long and large space, and it always seemed to never get a big enough crowd to create an ambiance.
8,300 feet is what I read.
Yeah.
When that real estate first opened, is that the place that had the fish that you walked over?
Walked over, yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And then there was
I hope they bring that back.
Not enough.
Most recently, it's been a sushi place, and that closed.
Sushi Rock.
Sushi Rock closed a few months ago, I think, didn't it? Yeah. Well, if anybody can do it, the Hyde Park folks can carry it.
So they're
it
really going to own the Cap almost. Yeah. They've got Hyde Park and 11 on the west side. Now they'll have Black Point Seafood on the east side.
Yeah. I think that really establishes a tone too for the rest of the Cap. I mean, that makes it well-rounded, high roller kind of territory.
Yeah. Throw in whatever's going into the Joseph and some other things. You'll have.
And then another one that I read of that is significant. Three Sheets is going to replace T. Murray's, which just opened a few years ago.
About a year and a half ago, yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah. Yep. Tony Murray, formerly of Lindy's, opened that. And again, it's almost too big a space, but we wish these folks luck. It's a good location.
Three Sheets, that's like a drinking phrase, right? Three sheets to the wind. It's where I'm just making sure I'm not missing any of the inside jokes. Okay.
Yeah.
But it was an odd space in that the kitchen, it was on
upstairs,
second floor.
Which is about, 85 steps.
It was steep. And the wait staff had to go up and down only stairs to get
always
the food.
In good shape, yeah. The other one I heard, somebody confirmed this, I didn't know that Chez de Bon has closed. Is that true?
Oh, that was short.
Yeah, Roberta said she read it yesterday in the paper. I don't want to send out any wrong information.
Yeah,
so.
I didn't come across that. I did come across Ohio Pizza and Brew replacing Element Pizza. And Element, it's kind of in a strange location on the north end of downtown. Yeah. But they opened right as the construction began on the on 670. And so it's kind of tricky.
Yeah, you got to come down Third and find a parking space. That's the other difficult thing. But
Well, we'll be back again in July with another program about food and restaurants. Thanks to all of you who weighed in this morning. Thanks to our panel of restaurant reviewers, Rich Terapak, along with Marian Bowers, Abbott of Columbus Underground. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City.